the top of the Empire State Building. Best Equity Business Podcast is back.
We back.
Expansion always, in all ways. Eye-opening episodes, sales, marketing strategies, entrepreneurial development, the everyday entrepreneur experience. So get ready to network to build your net worth. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Business Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I'm your host. Today on episode number 60, we have a special guest, a very inspiring entrepreneur that I'd like to welcome to the podcast. Everyone, give a big shout out to Jonte Fisher. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hello. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, Jonte, I just want to jump right into this, and I ask all my guests this question. How would you describe yourself in one word?
That's a good question. I would say ambitious.
Ambitious. And why would you state that?
I would say because I just know in my mind there's nothing that can hold me back. Nothing in this world, and whatever I believe that I can do, I know it can come true.
I agree with that. So, Jonte, I know that you told me that you've been in business for the past 3 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so take us back, like, let's say 5 years prior to where you are today, and give us like a bio about yourself, how you got into your industry, what is exactly that you do, and so on and so forth.
So 5 years ago, I wasn't even thinking about doing what I'm doing today. I actually worked in the medical field as a registered medical assistant. I was working with the people who could not have children, so infertility. So I've always pretty much worked with, you know, the public, and I'm really good with customers, you know, customer service skills. But I loved what I was doing. And then about 2 years later is when I got into what I'm doing now.
Okay, so what is it exactly that you do, and what influenced you to do it?
So as of right now, I'm the owner of a business called Bubbles Galore, and I hand make natural skincare products, but they're more so like donuts and popsicles, things that smell fruity or, you know, just different type of scents. And what got me into this was during the pandemic, I just felt as though my job was really overworking me at that time. I was really stressed out. And I just thought, you know, what could I do to help others? What could I do to pretty much help others with skin, their skin conditions? And that's when I came up with the donut, and it was made with a shea and a honey soap. And it would help with eczema, dry skin, and acne all in this at the same time.
So you would say that your mission in life is skincare.
Yes. And to also help others, even if it's just a smile on their face.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, I like to help others as well. Are you excited about your business?
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I'm very passionate about my business.
On your way up, like, yes. were there any people in your life that supported you, or were there more people that were like naysayers?
Say it was more naysayers. And sometimes people need to understand that just because someone doesn't say something as far as, you know, not believing in you doesn't mean they don't believe in you. Sometimes it's what they don't do, right? So I started out at a flea market. And even before that, I was driving around giving my products out for free. And there was plenty of people who told me they would come and see me at the flea markets I was at and never came. But I can say I've had, you know, at least one person that was really there for me in the very beginning, and that was my dad. And I'm pretty lucky because a lot of people don't have that support. So that's, I feel like that's why a lot of people are, you know, they give up in the very beginning.
Absolutely. And shout out to your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So Jonte, going back to your childhood, did you ever think that this is where you would wind up as an entrepreneur, or were you more as I would say, pre-programmed to be like in corporate America, et cetera?
When I was a kid, I thought more so I would be in the corporate America. My mom, she worked in human resources for a lot of her life. So I pretty much knew I would be in some type of customer service, again, because I'm good with others, good with, you know, meshing with people. So I really wanted to be a nurse pretty much all of my childhood. And I worked towards that and when I got older, but I just never finished.
So how does it feel to be an entrepreneur, like your own boss?
I love what I do. At times it can be a little stressful, but my success and how I feel about my business pretty much outweighs it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else at this point in my life. So yes, I love it.
So what do you think one of your unique skills is that helped you become successful?
Definitely, I would say my customer service skills.
Okay.
Definitely. Like if someone needs me, I know that I can make, and it's not on purpose, but I've been told this a lot. Like I can just make a person feel comfortable and they'll feel like they've known me for years. I also feel like I'm really good with sales. It just comes natural to me. So what I do, I don't look at it as sales. It's just, I can pretty much take my product and what I feel about my product and the quality of it, and I can explain or portray what I feel about the product, if that makes sense. So the consumer can understand what the product does, if that makes sense.
Exactly. You're selling them value rather than just, hey, look, it looks like a donut or whatever. You actually explain to them what's inside of the product and how it's going to benefit them using the product, correct?
Exactly. And I can do that on a personal level.
Basically, you have a brick and mortar?
So I had a brick and mortar at Towson Mall. We actually closed it a week ago, but I do have a kiosk at Arundel Mills. That was the first location I had. I had two locations.
Okay. So basically, do you sell direct to consumer online as well or just at the mall?
Yes. Yes. I have online, online website and also the kiosk.
Okay, so up to this point, what is one of the most important lessons that you have learned in the entrepreneurial world?
That's a good question. I would say, oh my gosh, there's so many lessons that I've learned. The most important, oh my gosh, so many lessons. I would say the biggest lesson is to take chances. And that the bigger the chance, the bigger the reward. Or it can be the biggest lesson. But regardless of what chance you take, you're going to benefit from it. And that if you just sit there and do nothing, nothing will become of it. So it's better to take chance.
I totally agree with you. And you said, you know, even in the end, if you do fail, you still learn that lesson for the future, not to do what it was you did to make you fail the first time. So I totally agree with that. And also the not doing nothing, because that's one of my biggest pet peeves is people that are lazy, have no ambition, and they, you know, all they want to do is cry victim and so on and so forth.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you. And also, can I say something else?
Absolutely.
I believe that whatever you say will manifest. So if you say, well, this isn't going to work out, or that's not going to work, or I can't do this because of this, then it won't happen. You get what I'm saying? So even with, they say failure, I try not to say that. I try to say, what lesson did I learn? Because then sometimes you could put yourself down and say, oh my God, I failed. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing that people have to overcome is that, that fear. And that that negativity mindset. See, I always break down the word mindset, right? Mind and set. Mm-hmm. Your mind is either set to succeed or your mind is set to fail. There's nothing else in between. So once you elevate your mind to that succession, you're gonna succeed, because whatever you put out in the world comes back to you 100-fold. I know that from experience. I've been in the business game since I was born. So that, you know, I always try to, you know, let these young entrepreneurs that are coming up know that, like, this ain't MTV, this ain't MTV reality shows. It takes time. It takes a lot of work and dedication.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, Jonte, what, seeing you on Instagram and TikTok, I know that, you know, you go hard, right?
Yes.
What do you do to, like, de-stress?
You mean in my personal life from the business?
Well, no, just not, I'm not talking about, like, anything personally. I'm saying, like, what do you do to de-stress, like, from business? Like, do you have, like, a hobby, you know, stuff like that? It don't have to be personal.
So I tell people all the time that I literally wake up Bubbles Galore and I go to sleep thinking about Bubbles Galore, right? So when I'm stressed, what I do is I might just say, you know, I will get my nails done. I'll go, you know, do something for myself. I'll go get my hair done, things like that. But I do work every single day, whether it be my employees calling me, telling me something's going on, just every day. But yeah, I just try to do things for myself so I can feel good about myself. And it'll kind of de-stress me a little bit.
Okay, so let's shift it up a little bit. Let's talk about your team. How big is your team?
When I had my store, my kiosk, I had 7 employees. But now, since my store is closed, we've gone down to 3 staff members. Okay. And then I don't know if you want to count the accountant. She's separate. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, and what led to you closing down the brick and mortar store?
So at the time, my lease was up and it was a hard decision for me to choose if I was to keep it open or not. And I tell people all the time that I know that I make it look easy. That people tell me that all the time. You make it look easy. But just from me being the only one to manage 2 locations and 7 staff members, I just felt as though, you know, I just needed to pull back a little bit. You know, because I started getting in a place where it wasn't fun anymore. It's like I was managing more than anything. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the time, I said, you know what? This whole time I've been advocating my dream. My dream was to have a store. And you've probably seen me talk. I don't know how long you followed me, but I kept saying that and I did it. I was proud of it, right? So I said, you know what? Now we're going to move on to bigger and better. And now I'm able to do more as far as, you know, things with media or doing more with ambassadorship or doing more interviews, or you get what I'm saying. And also I learned a big lesson as far as having a storefront. When I went into it, I thought, oh, this is going to be easier because it's a store and people are just going to walk in. It's going to be better than a kiosk.
Yeah.
And it turned out that it was the total opposite. But I would never have learned that if I didn't go through it, right? And then also you have to remember that the staff, which you probably know already, no one's going to run help you with your business or be as passionate as you. So I felt as though I wasn't even able to be a good leader to these 7 girls and make sure they're on their tippy toes because I'm managing 2 locations and I have to make my product at the same time. So for me to get a hold of my business the way that I wanted to, I just knew I had to close my store.
Well, you know, things happen. You know, sometimes you have to go through the bad in order to get to the good. And, you know, you learned a valuable lesson on, you know, the next time around when you decide that you want to open up a store again, like when you're hiring process, you might want to tweak a few things. You know, like my hiring process is 3 types of employees. You have your, you know, your mercenary, you have your grunt, and then you have your patriot, you know? Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, your mercenary is like the type that you want to hire for sales because mercenaries work on money, correct?
Yeah.
A grunt is someone that just looking for security. So they just basically want to do the job and no more. And then you have your patriot that they can be entrepreneurs on their own, but sometimes they don't want to. They'd rather be an entrepreneur in someone else's business, right?
Yes.
Where you can basically, you know, design an initiative, like an initiative for them where they would grow your business for you while you're away. Like that's the type of employee a patriot is. Like they want to know about how they can grow with you. If you offer any type of, you know, management positions, so then you could actually pull back the reins on, you know, managing 7-10 people, 3-5 stores, and just work on your business rather than work in it.
Exactly.
So, John Tay, what is one of the initiatives on your whiteboard that was not there 30 days ago?
To put my all into my kiosk, to build it even bigger and better than what it's ever been in the last 2 years.
Okay, and all your products, right? You make them by hand, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, like, you develop the formulation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thank you. A lot of trial and error. A lot of frustration.
So, John Tay, if you had 10 times the budget that you have right now while we're speaking, what would you, like, invest it in?
Oh, wow. If you would have asked me that 8 months ago, it would have been into my store. And I think sometimes things aren't always given to you because you could put it into the wrong thing. Does that make sense?
I totally understand.
So if you was to give me that, you said today?
Yeah.
If you gave me that today, 10 times more, I would probably make a bigger range of what products I already have. And I would make more designs and add more products, I think, at this point. I would probably even invest in vending machines so I could put in different states and hire people to actually take care of those vending machines, more so a store.
Okay. So is managing like that, I don't want to say difficult, but is like management not really your thing? Are you more like of the creative side of your business?
I've grown to be a better leader. I say leader more than management.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's employees that I have that look up to what I do and they aspire to do what I'm doing, right? So I kind of try to tell them the ins and outs too of what I'm doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I can say that over time, I've become a better leader. And that shows through the staff that I have and the longevity that I keep those staff members.
Okay. So as a leader, right? Can you give us like a couple of tips on motivating your team?
Yeah, I could do that. I would say I'm very open with my staff. And what I do is I have a meeting with them once a month. Now, we just started this some months ago. Due to my employees working really by themselves per shift, I wanted to start having meetings so they wouldn't feel alone, right? So in that meeting, they're able to even talk to me and tell me what I can do to be a better leader. Because sometimes I may say something the wrong way or do something wrong, and I want them to come to me, right? But also, I just, you know, just want them to be a part of the business, if that makes sense. I just don't want them to feel like just an employee.
Well, that's actually a good thing to do. I agree with you on that as well. That's why a lot of businesses fail, because the the boss employee thing, and that's when you don't get no productivity, and people doing half-ass work and stuff like that. So I totally agree on that. Like having your employees giving you input and you able to take it is a great thing.
Yes, and I think one big thing is I feel, and you can disagree with me, but I feel like a lot of business owners, especially in malls, at those kiosks and carts, they don't work. Even in stores, if you ever notice, you never really know the boss. Sometimes you do, but not all the time. So if my staff ever feels like the sales are low and they need me there and they feel down or discouraged, I get in there and I help them, because I'm going to show them as well. People are mean to me too sometimes. Sometimes people don't want to talk to me because in their eyes, they tell me everybody loves me, but it's not the case. So I think that helps them too, that I'm there with them sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here where I'm at in New York City, like a lot of those kiosk owners, that, you know, their employees are quite aggressive trying to sell you hand lotions and stuff like that. Like, I remember one time I was in the mall And I was walking through, and a girl threw this hot blanket on me and basically like scorched the back of my neck. You know, trying to sell. I forgot what the product was, but I totally get why some people would be nasty, because there's like that, like, what's that word? Like the aggressive sales tactics rather than, you know, draw them in with signage or, you know, whatever, like a, you know, something to draw attention to the kiosk rather than have people like jumping out, like, would you like to try cream? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. And the way that I have become successful, as far as my sales, I try to teach my staff members what works. You don't have to be aggressive, right? You want the consumers, if they're interested, they'll show you that. They'll look at the product, and then that's when you might approach them. But I'm really big on not being aggressive at my kiosk. But that's why I am so big on showing my kiosk on social media, because I wanted to change the narrative of kiosk. Because let's be real, kiosk and carts have a bad rep.
Absolutely.
Due to pushy sales. But people have grown to love what I'm doing, you know, I think because of how I've run my kiosk and my cart at the time.
Well, not only that, but your marketing tactics are pretty cool too. Like, it looks like a donut. You know what I mean? So, so I'm sure like 95% of the time people are coming over like thinking it's food. And then, you know, you have your, you know, your sales techniques to sell them, you know, the products that you're making.
Exactly. Yes.
So, Jonte, what's one thing about your field of expertise that almost no one agrees with you about?
That would be kind of hard. Do you mean the consumer or staff or anybody?
Anyone that you desire.
It's kind of hard to say, because I feel like people at this point don't really critique me as much. Like, they don't really, I don't know. I feel like I've grown over time. So even with the products, when in the beginning, people would always critique me on things, and I would take what they say. So I tell people, take half of what people tell you and do something about it. Because sometimes it could just be a little hate, but sometimes people are really telling you something that could make your product better. So I would say, this is a hard question. You might have stumped me on this one. How would I know? How about this? If there is anything, there's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing that they're saying is the opposite. Can I answer with that?
Yeah, that's a legit. That's legit.
Because nobody knows how to run my business better than me.
Absolutely.
So you could say, oh, you should keep your store open. But you don't know what's going on in the background. All anyone sees is what I show you, pretty much. Nobody really sees the grind and all the things that are going on in the background. Only the true entrepreneurs know really what's going on.
Well, not only that, a lot of people don't understand, like, when you have a brick and mortar, like 30 days goes by real quick. So yeah, if you don't have, you know, even if you have 6 months capital, let's just say, right, regardless of that situation, like, if you don't have, you know, demand for your product, you're going to... You know, you got to realize, like, I know a lot of people like that. Like, they just don't want to realize the reality that it's time to shut the doors. You know, like, they rather like put themselves in financial debt than to just say, hey, look, you know what? It didn't work out. Let me move on to the next, you know, endeavor, whatever the case might be.
Exactly. And let me tell you, I can only imagine what people go through mentally if they have to close their store. I think that half of keeping me sane, or not even sane, but just not as depressed and sad about it, was that I made the smart decision to keep my kiosk in another mall.
Absolutely.
And I went through the struggles of just saying, hey, I'm going to have two locations. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm not giving up my kiosk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, listen, you gotta stick with what's bringing in the profits. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's all good and great. You know, like, I've owned plenty of stores in my lifetime. And I'm not going to say that I had to close any of them down. Like, I sold a lot of them because, like, I got to the point where I just didn't want to be in that industry anymore. I was, like, in the entertainment industry, like lounges and clubs and et cetera. And mm-hmm. I just like, I got tired of the coming home at 6 a.m. And, you know, it just wasn't for me anymore. As you get older, you start to appreciate different things, correct?
Yes, so, exactly.
You know, there comes a time in life where you have to make, you know, the right choices based on reality. Not that, like I said before, like, you know, you're going to make a financial disaster just to say, hey, look, my name's on the store.
Exactly. And my dad, he talked me through that because I was really bad at one point.
Yeah.
You know,
I know,
people couldn't tell, but I was pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know people that have actually like, you know, committed suicide over their business over, you know, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, like during the pandemic.
That's so sad.
Yeah. The man was in business for like, I don't know, 50, 60 years. And, you know, he mortgaged out his property, et cetera, to the point where, you know, he just, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened, and rest in peace. But, you know, you got to face reality when, you know, when it's time to.
Yes. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's horrible. Oh, no. But I can understand it.
Yeah.
I really can.
Yeah, some
and
people.
I wanted to,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to piggyback off of you when we were talking about the stores and things.
Yeah.
And having a store. People don't understand that a store is a way bigger cost. Not only do you have staff, but you also have to pay for electric and maybe water and just all these added costs that I learned that, you get what I'm saying? That
absolutely.
I don't have to pay for with the kiosk. So
absolutely. Like the establishments that I owned in the past, just the sound system alone was a couple hundred grand, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you got to pay, you know, it's cost of like doing business, but you still got to have the money for it. Like you can't expect that, you know, you're going to get a delivery of product and tell the company, well, you know, I can't pay you this week. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. And I do feel like even with these big corporate stores, they're able to open up a store, right? And then be okay for about 6 to 8 months before the store even gets, people know that it's there because they have the capital to actually pay to be there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you get what I'm saying? But when you're a new business owner and you don't have that and you're trying to build something, and I think too, because I had both locations, I realized that I was the face, right? I have made myself the face, which could be bad in some ways and good, because then there's people who just want to shop with me, right? They rather wait for me to be there, but I can't be in two places at once.
Exactly.
So that, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, but people need to think about that too when they're building their business. Do they want to be the face or do they not?
Well, see, also the other thing, like just to touch on what you were saying about the big corporations, like they also have what's called leverage, right? Like,
yes.
You know, they're buying in bulk where a smaller business is buying like maybe like the next, you know, line that's coming out, let's just say. Plus, they know how to use the tax system and, you know, use what's called depreciation. So, you know, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. Like in order to be in business, like you have to understand business, you know, like, yeah, it's cool to have an accountant and you go there and they fill out the papers for you. But, you know, you should learn about your business, you know, your profits, your losses, your CAD, mm-hmm. your COD, et cetera, et cetera. So then mm-hmm. you could actually know about this, because there's a lot of CPAs out there that just want to take your money, fill out a paper, and there you go. Like they don't know about, you know, what depreciations they can take on their business and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. So it's a good, you know, it's a good thing to know that and to learn about it.
Exactly. It's just all a learning experience. And you can't be afraid to just do it, because how will you ever learn any of the things you just mentioned? Nobody's going to hold your hand and say, this is what you do, because 9 times out of 10, the people that know about these things, they already have a bunch of things going on.
Yeah. Well,
if it's not making them money, they're not going to tell you.
I try to teach it here on the podcast that those that do listen.
That's good.
You know?
And you know, if you notice, that's why I am such a big advocate on trying to tell people the things that I know as much as I can on social media. Because when I first started, there wasn't many people helping me.
Yeah.
You know, I would reach out to people and barely none would even, they act like they don't even see my message.
Yep.
You know, so that's why I started the highlight of the week for small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are people that are driven by ego. You know, like the, mm-hmm. they don't respond. I respond to everyone. Anyone that, you know, asks me a question or to do a show or whatever, like I always respond. Because I just feel like, you know, when you become successful, like giving back is a big thing in my book. You know, it's like one of my mm-hmm. posts, you know, I posted up like you can't learn to drive in a parked car. You know, you just have to, you know, do it like you said.
Yep. I wholeheartedly believe that. That's a good analysis.
So, John Tay, what is the common myth about your field of expertise?
That it's easy.
Okay.
And that everyone can do it.
Have you ever thought about like automating your business, like setting up like a, what's it called? Like a packaging center for yourself as far as your products?
You mean someone making it for me?
No. Like, you actually investing in the machines necessary to make like your own product, but at a higher distribution rate.
Yes, I've actually thought about it. I just still have to work towards getting there. I don't think that it's time, but yes, it's been in my mind. Like, that would be amazing. That way I can produce more to distribute, maybe to, you know, maybe different stores or different states or even maybe different countries.
Yeah, why not? I mean, nowadays everything is pretty much online, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. What type of e-commerce model are you instituting?
You mean which, like Shopify, like which?
Yeah, as far as like your e-commerce, like are you like a subscription model? Are you just, you know, direct to consumer, like whoever comes, like how do you like initiate your e-commerce?
So my online website is ran through Shopify. The consumer makes the purchase and then I just make the product fresh for them.
Okay.
And then I ship it out myself. But yeah, that's all I do right now.
Okay. So you don't do like no subscriptions and stuff like that?
So I try. So a lot of people were asking me about subscriptions. I did it at one point when I first started my business, but nobody was getting it because I didn't really have that many supporters. But I think that I am going to start soon where a consumer can actually get a product shipped to them automatically, like once a month or something. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Product.
Yeah. I mean, if you want my opinion, you should, if you do that, like do it, like give them like three different tiers, you know, like tier one, tier two, tier three, make one like basic, one like, mm-hmm. you know, like medium. And then the last one, like the Ferrari, you know what I mean? So basically okay. What that's going to do is like, it's going to give you more subscriptions with the middle choice. Like that's a proven fact, like in e-commerce, mm-hmm. you know, and basically like, you know, your profits, you want to try to allocate anywhere between like 20 to 25% back into the website as far as like back end, like search mm-hmm. engine optimization, not only keywords okay. and, you know, you also want to get someone that knows how to do technical SEO. You know,
okay.
it's a lot involved because like, especially in your type of business, like what's going to cost you the most, excuse me, is customer acquisition, you know, because you want to know how much you're paying to acquire a customer. And then you want to know like, you know, the retention of that customer, like how long is this customer staying with me and how much are they spending along the line? You know what I mean?
Right. That is very true. That is.
So that's
a good point.
Yeah. That's like, that's e-commerce 101.
Yeah. That's a good point. Because I was really not even, now that you say that, I was really concentrating on that aspect with the customers that come to my location.
That's a start. You know what I mean? Like you could tell them like, hey, listen, instead of wasting $5 a gallon of gas, right, coming down to the mall, you could just sign up for my, you know, my subscription model. And, you know, these are the three, you know, three, four, whatever you decide, like, you know, tiers. And, you know, I'm sure they'll settle with one because that's, you know, it, like I said, it's a proven fact. Like on three, they're always going to go with the second choice. So you make the second choice like as close as possible to the Ferrari, but not the Ferrari. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe I can name the tiers like after a donut. Each donut tier is like more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, you know, you got to experiment. You got to experiment with business. It's not just like I said earlier, like the MTV thing, like, oh, you start today, tomorrow, you know, you're hanging out on the yacht with your friends and popping bottles. You know, that's mm-hmm. That's all fantasy.
Yes. And I really do feel I'm kind of excited talking to you about new ventures because that ties back into why I felt the way that I did when I had both locations, because I wasn't able to think about these things. It was just, oh, I have to just run these locations every day. I couldn't even think about what the next product was going to be.
Yep.
That's miserable. That was miserable.
Yep.
Because what I like to do is I like to brainstorm and I like to bring out new products for you guys. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when you feel like you're not walking in your purpose, sometimes you have to just do, you know, change little things around. But
no, I totally get it. I mean, I remember one time, you know, I was in the bagel business. I knew nothing about it. So I decided to do like a soft opening because I inherited this bagel store. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to hand out bagels. And that's what I did. And people were like, oh, wow, this is like a really great bagel. And that's how I developed my bagel store. And I had the cheapest coffee in New York City, which was 39 cents a cup. You couldn't beat it.
Wow.
I used to have like lines down the block, you know. But these are the things that you have to do. Like a lot of people are cheap and cheap is expensive. You know, you got to know how to draw in the crowds. You got to know how to market correctly. You know, you hear everybody talking about marketing and they got the tricks and they got the, like, in your business, like, you're your best salesman, you're your best marketer, you're your best everything. But little by little, you have to, you know, let go of the reins. That's why, like I was telling you about the employees, you have to narrow them down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like when you narrow them down and you know, okay, I know that this girl or this guy is a mercenary. I'm going to put him at the kiosk to sell like it's going out of style, you know, where this person, I'm going to have them working on the business, you know what I'm saying, with promotions and so on and so forth. So you have to learn how to differentiate the employees.
Exactly. And to piggyback what off you said, about how you said that you used to sell the coffee for really cheap and things. I feel like a lot of times people don't understand that those are the sacrifices you have to do to become more successful. Like I literally, when I first started my business, I had nowhere to sell my product. I used to drive around the city and people used to DM me if they wanted a free sample. And I used to drive to their house just to give them samples. You know, I'm using my gas, my mileage. The product was free. And one of my friends at the time, she used to tell me that I was crazy. She used to say, why are you doing that? So it's not always about you receiving something, right? I had to grow somehow. I had to get the product out there. But a lot of people aren't willing to lose to get bigger later.
Yeah, well, the thing nowadays, in my opinion, is everybody relies on social media, right? Like society has lost touch with like actual person to person interaction, like how you do at your kiosk, right?
Yeah.
Like that right there is way better than social media because the person's seeing the product, they're touching it, they can apply it, et cetera, rather than, okay, I post up a picture on Instagram. Oh, wow. Look, it's cool. It looks like a donut, right?
That's where
a lot of people in business that sell products, they lack because they rely everything on social media. I'll make a video about it. I'll make a reel about it rather than hitting the streets. Like you said, like there's all these like, you know, markets and flea markets and what, like, I guarantee you, if you went to a flea market, In a mm-hmm. week, you could probably do six figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, but people are lazy. People are lazy, you know?
Exactly.
All they care about is their cell phone, their computer, you know, who they're going to, you know, who's hitting the mop and all that type of stuff.
Exactly. And I literally, when I first started out at the flea market, I didn't want to be there. But I knew I had to get something that was affordable for me at the time. I quit my job. I didn't even know how I was going to pay my mortgage next month. So I only could afford a flea market table. And I sat at that flea market table every weekend for 6 months until people knew I was there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then I moved on to the next thing. But sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do. And I also tell people all the time, it's not about the product. It's about your journey.
Absolutely. You know, people.
That's why I don't just show products on my Instagram. It's more about what I'm doing. So you guys can originate.
Yeah. People don't get that success is a byproduct of value creation. You know, everybody's obsessed with this, you know, getting the bag and, you know, money, money, mm-hmm. money. It's not about that, you know, like in order to make money, right? You have to be mm-hmm. successful. In order to be successful, again, it's a byproduct of value creation. So if you don't create value, how are you going to be successful?
Exactly.
Right? And then when you get successful, like, how can you be more successful if you can't help others?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
That's how I see it.
I totally agree. And that's why I vow to help as many people as I can. You know, as I grow, you know, and I'm still learning, you know, but if I can help someone from making the mistakes that I did so they can kind of prosper a little faster, then I did my job. I'm not going to be on this earth forever, you know, so it's not always about just making money.
Oh, exactly. You know, we only die once.
Yeah.
So John Tay, what is an insult you have received that you were proud of?
these are good questions. An insult that I was proud of, that I am all about my business, that I, you know, that I live for my business and I don't care about anyone else but my business, which isn't true, but I've been told that.
I'm with you on that one. I've been told I went Hollywood, but it's all good. I love my haters.
I love them too. I love them.
So, John Tay, what's like a bit of advice you can give to like up and coming entrepreneurs that want to get in the business game, et cetera?
I would just say to do it, to just start it. And whatever that it might be, just do it. To stay focused, which, you know, you're going to have things that happen in your life. I do all the time. But you know, even in my workplace, I always used to say, whatever I'm going through, I leave at the door, right? And that should be the same for your business, right? So even if you feel negatively about something that a customer might do, you just kind of keep that to yourself. I see a lot of mistakes with entrepreneurs where they're kind of nag on people, like things that they do. And that will shy away people. But again, leave everything at the door. Just keep your personal life separate. Take chances. Keep your head down. It's going to feel lonely. But over time, you'll have the support.
Absolutely. So, John Tay, if someone wants to get in contact with you or shop with you, like let them know where they could like find you, follow you, shop with you, et cetera.
Okay, well, your listeners can follow me on Instagram and TikTok with the same name. It's Bubbles Galore Me. And they can visit my website at www.bubblesgaloremd.com. And you can also visit my kiosk at Arundel Mills Mall in Hanover, Maryland. We're open 7 days a week. I'm not always there, but you know, your followers can always DM me and say, hey, Bubbles, are you going to be there? And the day of, and I'll let them know if I'm going to be there. They want to shop with me.
Yeah, whether she's there or not, you know, if you're in that area, you know, hit her up, you know, let them know Pest Equity Business Podcast sent you. They'll hook you up. And that's pretty much it. You know, I just want to thank you for coming on. It was an interesting conversation. I'm glad that we got to discuss different insights and ideologies as far as business. And again, yes. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I want to thank you all for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. If you guys enjoyed this episode, do me a favor. Go follow Pest Equity Business Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble.com, Twitter. Don't forget to go follow Bubbles Galore Me on Instagram as well. And we'll see you all on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast. Join the Facebook group and go subscribe to our growing YouTube community. Have a question or topic for the show? Want to be a guest on the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.